Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast. We have the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs. They share their latest news and they give us all the gossip on life in Music City and around the world. I'm Baylen Leonard and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. You can listen on DAB Radio in the UK on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, shall we get on with the podcast? Let's do it.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
All right, here we go, boys. I've been counting the moments, and it's been a long time. It says here that it's been 6 years since you were back in the UK. That's completely unacceptable. So the main reason that I've got you in is to harangue you to make sure that it's not six more years. 1,000 horses! Welcome back to the UK.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Hey,
we'll
be
back.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. It has been way too long.
Yeah.
We promise. It will not be that long again.
All right. We've got it on tape. It will not be that long again. Just so that everybody can equate your dulcet tones with what you do, can you go around, introduce yourself, and say what you do in the band, please?
Yeah. I'm Michael, and I am the lead singer.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Baylen.
I'm Bill, and I am the lead guitar player.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
And I'm Graham, and I'm the bass player.
Hey, Graham. And together, you are 1,000 horses.
That's it.
So, yeah, 6 years, because I think the first time that we met, and certainly the first time that I saw you perform, and I don't even remember how long ago this was, but Smoke was the big song. You guys were over for C2C.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that, so what's, are we talking like 10 years maybe?
15, I think it's 2015. No, was it 16?
Well, 2015, yeah, so it was 10 years ago.
Okay,
1915.
Yeah, but yeah, that was C2C, and what I think we did the Brooklyn Bowl back-to-back, and then did Barfly. And,
oh, the Barfly show, that was fun.
Yeah.
It's always so amazing when we're here, so it's like, every trip's a whirlwind in the best way.
Yeah, because that would have been, so the first time I saw you, but also the first time you were here, right?
You hadn't
been here before that, right? But
no.
I remember very specifically those shows because the audience was going crazy for you guys. Like, they were so excited. We all knew every word to Smoke, and it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, these guys are, you know, there's something special. And it seems like that relationship with the UK crowd, even though there's been some gaps in there for various reasons, has continued. There's still a love affair between you guys in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being back this trip, we felt that, which has been amazing. And yeah, we were blown away by the response of coming back. It's such a, you know, a long time. We're going to, like, cut that in half, you know?
Yeah.
But But, like, if it says six in the last 6 years, it's really, like, three.
Yeah.
But, no, it's been amazing to be back, and we're excited to continue to come back.
And there'll be people, of course, who were there at your very first shows and that have been coming to all your shows since. There'll be people that have discovered you since and new faces in the crowd as well. And there is something special about, you tell me, because artists always say this, like, oh, there's something really special about a UK crowd. And I'm sure that if they're in Oklahoma, they're saying there's something really special about an Oklahoma crowd as well. And listen, we'll take that. But it does seem like most people point out that that UK audiences are kind of listening audiences. Do you guys notice that with what you do?
Absolutely. The UK audience, there's this thing where they explore the entire record. They know all the deep cuts and they know all the words. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, well, we've been loving Till My Heart Don't Beat, which is one of the new songs. It's a deluxe edition, right, of The Outside? So The Outside came out last year?
Yeah, last August, The Outside came out. So this, in April of this year, we decided to add some songs to it, some acoustic tracks, a live track, and then a new song, Till My Heart Don't Beat, and do a little deluxe thing for the summer to come back over.
There's another song that, I mean, you guys fit in perfectly with what we do here, and certainly the Front Porch, what we do on a Sunday, where we push at the boundaries a little bit of country music. Highway Sound was actually written on a porch, right?
It was. It was written. We were at my wife's family's little farm in Texas.
What part of Texas?
Waco, Texas. It was in Crawford, Texas, right outside of Waco.
Okay.
But
what kind of farm? What do they raise?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they're not farmers.
So maybe it's like a piece of land.
They call it a
more
ranch.
Than a farm.
Okay. Yeah. It's a retreat. It's called the Hog Creek Retreat is what they call it.
This is conjuring an image. I love it.
Yeah. So we
there's
we
not
went
hogs
out.
Or creeks.
Yeah. Neither.
There actually are a lot of hogs and creeks.
No farming, no hogs, no creeks.
Okay, it's a concrete building.
Yeah. It's a mysterious place.
There is a porch, though.
But we went out there as a band to do a writing trip, you know, and kind of and hang out in the country for a little while and gather what we wanted to do next. And I was Zach, our old guitar player, he had his guitar and amp out on the porch, a screened-in porch on the side of the house, which was really cool. And out there, he had it on 11, and he was just playing this riff, the Highway Sound riff, and I was in the kitchen and I heard it and I was like, man, what is that? And started humming a melody and we all went out on the porch and just wrote the song right there.
I mean, that is
in the Texas.
You couldn't make that. I mean, you literally made up a song, but I mean, in terms of like the setting of this, like I think what you have just described is what a lot of people imagine. Like that's how they imagine every country song is written. You know, like out on a porch, it just happens and there it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That was exactly how that one went down. Which probably, like, I don't know if we've done that since.
Yeah, we don't have any stories about songs like
that. How many times can you, like, take an amp and put it on your porch and turn it all the way up and just play guitar and not bother anybody?
And not bother the hogs.
Yeah. The hogs were there. You know, they're nighttime creatures.
Well, we should have a listen to this. We are chatting to 1,000 Horses, and this is a song we were just talking about. It's Highway Sound. That's Highway Sound, Absolute Radio Country, 1,000 Horses are our guests today. You know, you were talking about that porch. Can I ask you about, I want to ask you a little bit more about this porch.
Well, let's talk about porches. Let's talk porches.
Well, so it's a screened-in porch already. I want that.
Yeah.
I want a screened-in porch. I want there to be a comfortable kind of wicker love seat, maybe.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah, that was there.
A swing. And is, because where I'm from, like East Tennessee, a porch like that, the ceiling of that porch is absolutely painted blue. Do you do that in Texas? Because it's called
I know exactly what
haint blue, and it keeps the haints away, which are spirits.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know this thing?
I know about that from growing up in South Carolina and then
yeah.
And
oh living, yeah, you'll
and
have
living,
blue, blue
yeah,
yes,
Tennessee.
For sure.
They don't do that in Texas.
Do they not?
It's a lot of cedar. So they and mesquite is like the thing they build stuff out of. So we don't have a blue.
Is there a ceiling fan?
Oh, yeah. There's got to be a ceiling fan. It's hot.
I mean, is there a higher pinnacle of glory than an outdoor ceiling fan?
I mean, it just makes so much sense.
You got to have one.
You got to move the heat around.
But they got it dialed in. This porch, they got the chairs and the couch, and there's even a TV on the wall.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's a nice
A little side table for the lemonade and iced tea.
Yeah, ping pong table. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Can you tell I live in central London? I just dream about porches all the time.
We can talk more about the porch.
Hey, you guys went through some big changes. Like, all three of you had different situations that you were dealing with. Two of you got sober. One of you had vocal surgery, right?
Yeah.
You had.
I did, yeah. In February of 2020. Yeah. I had an issue with my vocal cords and then had surgery up in Boston.
That's so showbiz.
Yeah, Dr. Zeitel, what's up? He doesn't live here. but if he did.
He's international.
He's
now.
An international
too late
guy.
For a discount too, so
yeah,
forget it.
Yeah, you know what? Already paid in full on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened and
that
honestly,
must be scary as a where you're like, oh, this is my not only is it my art, but it's also my livelihood as well that I'm dealing with here.
Yeah, we don't have any insurance policies on that or backup plans. So it was a pretty scary situation. It went great, and I was lucky that it went great, and nothing affected me permanently. It's all been better since.
Did it change your voice?
I mean, it's kind of like running with a rock in your shoe.
Right.
And I got the rock out. I mean, you know, we'd been on the road for so long, for so many years, and I didn't do the best job of taking care of myself, to be honest.
Right.
And it came back better than it was before, better than ever.
Great.
The doctor, I went up there and flew up there with him, and when they stuck the camera down his throat, and we saw it, and Michael was just like, he went ghost white immediately because you could see the pile up right there. And the guy was like, man, he's like, you need to be studied. This is amazing that you've been singing, you know, and you sound as good as you do, you know, like, but,
I don't want to see the inside of my body.
It was,
you know, it's a private area. You don't need to see
that. Yeah, you know, I want to keep that to myself.
It's crazy,
yeah,
but the guy said, he said,
I mean, there's videos out there. I just don't want him to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
After the surgery, he said, congratulations, you're 18 again.
Yeah.
You know, and he, Michael sounds fantastic. He sounds better than he ever has. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you sound amazing on this album. And then speaking to you as well, because we've had a lot of people through here. I mean, it's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, come to find out a lot of people have gone through it. Once you go through it, everybody reaches out to you, and you're like, what?
Did Shania Twain send flowers?
No, she didn't.
Oh, wow. She didn't. But, you know, her, I mean, she obviously... She sounds great, but it's absolutely her the way she speaks. We've had her in here a few times, and she talks very openly about it. The way she speaks sounds totally different than before. But it doesn't feel that way with you.
It changes. It has been 6 years. I think everybody's different. You know, one sweet thing that another artist did for me, Philip Sweet from Little Big Town, he knew I was going through it. And so when you come out of surgery, you can't speak or do anything for 3 or 4 weeks. Like, you got to be silent. So he sent me a bunch of art materials and drawing paper.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, get your creativity out by drawing and painting and just thinking of you. And he sent me this big package of all these watercolor paints and pencils and things like that.
Oh,
and he would check in with me every other week. And
did you make a bunch of art?
You know, I drew
like
a little
visual
bit.
Art?
Yeah. I didn't. No, not nothing. Nothing to write home about.
Well, listen. You know, we can auction those off for a good cause. I'm sure.
Yeah, I got them. I got them somewhere in a box. My wife kept them from that time.
I noticed they're in a box and not framed. Okay.
Yeah.
She's like,
we're just
going to
keep these for later.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to pop these up here so they're safe. Yeah.
Para mi familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
That's a great way to get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you got to the other side of it. And then you boys decided, well, I mean, he can't have all the glory with having a big thing. We're going to get sober instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, we, I don't know. I think, you know, we lived the rock and roll dream we always wanted to. Mm. And got to a point where, for me personally, I was like, I don't know, I just felt kind of dissatisfied with how things were, and I was in a weird creative place, and it was a weird personal space, and I was becoming a dad for the first time, and everything in my life that was, like, was important, you know, was changing overnight, and I realized that I was, like, I had this, like, you know, kind of moment where I realized I needed to, like, let go of a lot of old ego stuff, and, like, you know, I got more spiritual and, you know, started working on my relationship with God more. And, you know, and I think becoming a parent does that to you, I think, in some way, you know, and it really put my entire life into perspective. And so it was like, all right, what's important to me is my family and my relationship with God and music.
Mm.
And this isn't serving any of that.
Mm.
You know, and if I'm not servicing those three things, then, you know, my kids and family and everybody, those are the ones that pay the price for that. You know, so if I'm not being the best version of myself every day.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I mean, it's been the greatest decision I've ever made, I think. You know, to like, because the music we're making is better, the shows are better, the times we have together are better, you know, and then personally.
And you probably notice different things as well, like when you're, you know, I mean, noticing and remembering things and like kind of being present and all that stuff must be a little bit easier if you're not cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, I remember a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. Even the stuff you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. But no, you know, and that's another crazy thing is I used to have anxiety and stuff all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Well, how was that? You know, now I have none of that anymore.
That's amazing. I mean, I think it's so, like, the fact that we talk about it so much more And there are so many more people in my life that are sober. And, you know, I think that a lot of people assume you have to hit some sort of rock bottom before you. And that is, of course, one way to do it. But it also isn't that. It can just be an awakening that you have one day of like, you might not even be to a point where people think that you have a problem, or you might not even have a problem. You just decide that this is a different way to live. So many more people talk about that. And also in terms of like availability and stuff, no alcoholic beers and spirits and all of that like are just very much everywhere at the moment. And so I think what I'm saying is it's a good time to be sober.
I agree. I think it's the best time to be a non-drinker is what we always talk about, because I love the non-alcoholic beers. I mean, they're great. You know, instead of the
I drink a lot of non-alcoholic beers. Like, and a lot of times I'll only have that. Or if I'm out, I will have a beer and then a no beer. You know, I'll alternate. And that, I feel like a million, like I've still had a great time. I feel a million bucks better than if I just drank all night long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
And they've come a long way, those non-alcoholic beers.
Oh, they're great. The Guinness one is great. It tastes just like a regular Guinness.
The Corona one does as well.
Oh, yeah, the Corona one's great. And then the Athletics. Oh, great. So now and on our rider, instead of there being like four bottles of tequila and vodka and everything, you know, we just get like a case of NA beers.
The Grand Ole Opry is celebrating its 100th birthday this year. We're doing a big old hoo-ha for it. They're coming over to the UK for the first time, doing a thing at the Royal Albert Hall. You guys made your Grand Ole Opry debut in 2015. Is this correct?
Yep.
Do you remember that moment?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. It was nerve-wracking.
Is it?
You know, it's always of shows. Of you know, we've been lucky enough to do the Opry a lot since then, and that's a show that always makes you nervous, no matter how many times you do it.
Mm.
You know, for me, because like, you just walk out there, you do 2-3 songs, and it's, you know, they run it really well and they take great care of you. And it's always a special moment. Like, even, you know, the first time was special, but the 16th time is special. Like, it's a cool thing to get to do.
And is it one of those things where when you made your debut, like, all the family flew in and you had like a whole thing?
It was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah. Because growing up in country music, like, it is kind of the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, to play the Grand Ole Opry, I mean, that's on the list, you know, of, like, bucket list things. Yeah. And to check that off is, I mean, every time we get to play it, I'm still excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, and I nervous think it's certainly, it like, you get, like, the stamp, you know, you feel like you get the stamp of, like, acceptance.
Yeah,
you know,
for
you're
sure.
Like,
yeah, you're
oh, wow.
in the community, you know.
You know, and the first time we did it, we were like shaking side stage, and you know, who was it? Jim Ed Brown.
Oh was yeah, that? Jim Ed Brown so was there,
and he was like, "Just go out there and play, man. You're gonna be fine."
Yeah,
and I was like,
"Well, because there's guys there, you know, that have been playing it since, you know, for 50 years.
Yeah,
they've been playing it, and you know, they look at it and they're like, oh, man, Vince Gill's always there.
Yeah, he just rocks up in his truck, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just pulls.
Like, well, the second time we played it. I was standing outside and I was nervous again, you know, because it's all, I mean, especially when you're doing things for the first time, it's like it was happening so fast because you do kind of walk out there and they're like, okay, go.
Yeah.
You know, and so like.
And then it's over before you realize it,
exactly,
I'd imagine. Because,
and that's a bit uncomfortable, but like I was standing outside and I was thinking to myself, oh man, you know, it's kind of nerve wracking. And I watched Vince Gill drive himself. He pulled into the parking lot and I watched him get out of the car, just calm as he could possibly be, reach in the back seat, grab his acoustic guitar and his gig bag, throw it on his back and just walk immediately to the stage, plug it in and play, and just sounded absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And he walked off, got back in his car. I was like, that's how the pros do it.
Yeah.
You know? So somehow seeing him be that calm has not made, like, I'm like, I don't even be nervous to do this.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. It is always good, because I think there's loads of situations in life where you're like, You kind of get blinkered and you're like, this is the only, you know, nobody else is going through this thing that I'm going through right now. And then when you see something like that, you're like, oh, okay, I can step out of this nauseous, nervous circle for just a moment. Yeah.
We learned a lot from Darius Rucker doing that way too, because he was so cool about everything.
He's so laid back about everything though.
Yeah, and he's such
he
a
lives
pro
here now. Did
like,
you know
if
that?
You kind of watch how they like do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, oh. Well, that's how, you know, like, there's no reason to be freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, we played Wagon Wheel with him.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay, like live on TV once.
Our first TV performance was Wagon Wheel with Darius Rucker. We were like, what?
Yeah. And there was a there was a little bit of a delay, right? You know, in the live feed.
Yeah.
And we started Wagon Wheel, and like he goes to sing, and his monitors weren't working. So he stopped. He ran immediately to the front of the camera. He's like, stop. So, and they like went to a commercial, and it hadn't aired yet because he knew he's a pro. He knew there was a little bit of like
right.
A little,
he knew how long he had.
Yeah, and so he was like, "Hey, fix this for me real quick." And they aired like a 30-second commercial, and somebody ran over, fixed something, and he was like, "All right, boys, let's go." And then they counted it back off, and we just like nailed, and he crushed it, and the band crushed it, and I was like, "All right, that's how you got to do it. You just got to be cool."
Yeah, just be cool.
Which kind of freaked us out because he stops it and then he's like, all right, we're going again. And we're like, what?
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other kind of cool people that maybe you learned something from. I mean, you did Room Full of Strangers with Chris Stapleton. That was a co-write.
Yeah. Right?
He seems like another super laid back guy. Every time I've met him, he's so laid back. Is he laid back?
He is super laid back. So we met Chris a long time ago, and he had a band called the Johnson Brothers after the Steel Drivers. He was doing his solo thing, but he had the Johnson Brothers, which I don't know if anybody's ever listened to, but they're
awesome.
Yeah. And we did a run of shows with him through small clubs in the Southeast and became friends. And he's the most laid-back dude you'll ever meet. I mean, and most talented guy you'll ever meet, too, for me. And yeah, we got together to write. We got set up on a write, and we wrote Room Full of Strangers that day in, like, no time. And then we just ended up sitting there talking for 3 or 4 hours, and I was asking him advice because he was ahead of where we were, and he was just doing his radio tour for What Are You Listening To, I think, at the time. And we were about to start ours. We just finished the Southern Ality record. And I asked him, I said, well, you got any advice? And he said, well, always be nice to everyone you meet and watch your drinking. And he said, if you do those two things, you'll be fine. And I was like, all right, Chris Stapleton, let's go.
That's pretty sound advice.
Yeah. I mean, just as cool
and
as
years
it gets.
Later, you two learned that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we watched each other drink a lot. Yeah.
And I should have taken his advice. Yeah. I should have taken his advice that day. I mean, we've always been nice to people, but, you know. Yeah. But now, looking back.
I mean, what good advice, though, as well? I mean, because sometimes you can boil down an entire self-help section into just a couple of lines, right? And actually, I think country music does it better than any other thing. Like, sometimes a song can boil down an entire shelf of self-help books
Absolutely.
Into something super simple like that. And actually, be nice and watch your drinking is great advice for anybody.
In life, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
And he is nice.
Yeah,
and it's always, nice. You know, I always say it's the people like that who are at the absolute pinnacle of their game that are usually the nicest. Mm-hmm. And they got there for a reason. Yes, talent and all the rest of it. But it's also nice if you're nice.
There's a recent funny story of with Chris. He is my wife has that it was right when the Room Full of Strangers came out. And she went, my daughter was just wanted candy cons. Candy canes is what they are, but she calls them candy cons.
Okay.
She's young. And she was just begging my wife to go to Walgreens to get candy cons. So she goes, fine. She pulls into Walgreens. She goes in the store, and she's trying to see the candy cons, and she's, like, looking, and there's this big guy there with a jacket on, and he's looking at candy canes, and she kind of, like, leans in underneath him and then, like, looks up, and she's like, Chris? And he's like, oh, hey, Caroline. And it's Chris Stapleton. And she was like, have you heard Michael's, have you heard the horse's version of Room Full of Strangers? And he's like, no, I haven't listened to it yet. I didn't know it was out. And she's like, well, let me play it for you. And she sat there in the middle of Walgreens and played him Room Full of Strangers on her phone. And then he gave her a big hug and he's like, sounds great. And then they left. And I was like, she's like, and she calls me when she gets in the car and she's like, you never believe who I just ran into it at the pharmacy getting candy canes. And I was like, who? She said, Chris Stapleton was there, and I played him your song. And I was like, what?
The man's just wanted to get some candy cones.
Yeah, he was doing the same thing she was doing. Kids wanted candy canes.
I wonder what flavor he got.
You know, I don't know. You got to go classic.
I mean, I'm a classic pepper. Candy cane guy, me. Peppermint or nothing. Yeah. Don't give me your fruit Yeah. I don't need your fruit candy canes.
Well, the colorful ones, you know?
Yeah.
No, please, come on. It's gone too far.
This is madness. Yeah.
The world we live in.
Yeah.
We don't have enough to deal with. We got to have orange flavored candy canes.
Just keep it simple, man.
I could chat to you guys for ages, but I mean, you got stuff to do. Are you going to go get some time in London to see a little bit of it? Do you have anything that you're like, oh, I can't wait to go get me some of that again because it's been so long since you were here?
Oh, man.
Or is it just like, I can't wait to sleep?
Yeah. Both of those things are up there.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's that? We always try to go to Deschim.
Oh, of course, yeah. Classic.
Oh, no, I want to get down to the Adidas Oasis store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? The pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to miss that. Well, enjoy.
Great.
It's always great to see you. Thanks for coming to see us. Please don't make it 6 years or three.
No.
Here we go. The manager's in the room.
Let's book it right now. 6 months?
Like once a year.
Annually.
Okay.
Yeah. Annually, yes.
Annually. All right. So we will see you next year, 1,000 Horses.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do it. Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.